The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. By the way, we do have some time for open phone. We could do some open conversation right now. If there's if there's anything that kind of got lost in the shuffle this week, I think it's always a good idea. Sometimes you get all bound up over what's been happening, let's say with President Trump's second assassination attempt over the weekend. And various other news. And if there's something else you wanted to weigh in on, now's a pretty good time. 770-533-770-KMED. Rick Manning will join me after 6:30 this morning, and we'll have a talk about the D.C. swamp update. Getting swampier, and the extra stank is provided at no extra charge, courtesy of Washington, D.C. I gotta tell you, we'll have Mr. Outdoors on the show at 7:10 or so. We're going to talk about some big changes going on over at Diamond Lake that I was not aware of, but Greg will tell us about that and various other things which are going on. And Captain Bill Simpson will be joining me about Klamath Dam removal and the sludge and the slime and the various other things. And a lot of people, in fact, I think I had an email asking about that. Here we go. We're going to talk a bit about this. Darren from Medford sent me an email overnight and said, Bill, I went to Happy Camp last Friday, and the Klamath River from I-5 to Happy Camp is a nasty brown color. There is irrigation going on in the fields, and I wonder if that river water will have adverse effects on crops and pastures. But while in town, I heard that most locals are not rafting. However, the rafting companies are still taking clients. There is no way I would want to get that water on me. Interesting. Well, Darren, you'll find it interesting that, I've had that big jar of water, which is not in the studio right now because Mark dropped it by the other day. And then he said, well, we need to get it tested. Well, I took it over to Grants Pass Water Lab yesterday and dropped it off. So they're going to be running it through the machines. And I handed it to the people there. And we were kind of remarking. I said, oh, yeah, the magic fish are going to grow through this. They're going to love it. Yes, the magic fish are going to swim through this clay-filled water. And I think, I'm not exactly sure which test they're going to run, because there is a friend of the show that's actually that agreed to help pay for that, and I just appreciate that. I'm not going to say who they are at this point, because it's expensive. It was an expensive test that they're going to be running on it, because I believe they're going to be running tests on the heavy metals and the toxicities and trying to find out, just what the level of dissolved solids are in the, in the water, and try to get some idea on what's actually being flushed down that river. Because for all I know, and by the way, it looks horrible. It can't be good for the fish, only because even when you let that water sit for a number of days, it's still gray and cloudy. It's not like the clay and the dissolved solids just all precipitate out or fall out, although some of the heavier stuff does. And, the fish aren't going to swim through that and survive that. There's no way they possibly can. This was the reason why, when they were talking about blowing the dams in the first place, the original plan was to dredge all that stuff out of there, because we're talking about decades of sediment buildup and various other pollutants and fertilizers and all sorts of other things that have just kind of sat, ended up precipitating out and sinking to the bottom behind the dams. And because the dams, despite what the gangrenes and the guy that used to run Sabroso, who was part of this this whole KRRC abomination, the whole situation there, the dams really ended up improving the environment for the Klamath River, because it's a reverse watershed. The water that's coming out of Klamath Lake is hot, and the dams always gave the opportunity for the waters to cool and the pollutants to precipitate out or, sink to the bottom and then build up. And now we're just blasting all that stuff down the river, and it's going to be a tough deal. So we'll talk to Captain Bill about that, get the latest from Dam Removal Central. And I don't know how long it will take for the Grants Pass Water Lab to do those tests, but there are many of them. And I have a feeling that the person's going to do the toxicity and try to find out what toxic stuff is. you know, there may be more than just lots of clay and dissolved sediments in there, for all we know. But we'll find out, and I'll let you know. So, Darren, if you're wondering what's in that water, what's actually flowing down there, what's going to be what the magic fish swimming back from the ocean will be trying to withstand, we'll find out, all right? So I'll let you know. They promised to copy me on that, on the test. So, by the way, thank you, mysterious benefactor, for paying for the test, because, like I said, it was several hundred dollars, I think, to get this done. Good stuff. It's 16 minutes after 6, 770-5633, and let me go to the phones since it is Friday. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, you're on. Who's this?
This is Dan. Hey, I'm going to go out on a limb here real quick. You know, I think we need a larger lockup facility here in Jackson County.
Okay, so you think we need a larger one. Okay, in other words, a larger jail. What's going on? What drove you to that, huh?
Okay, well, it just seems like there's a lot of folks out on the roads that need to be locked up. They're turning people out, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm a longtime Oregonian since 1948. I hate the whole idea of sales tax, but I'm thinking that maybe we ought to spread the wealth and let everybody pay for this, and then we would, once the jail is built, then we would revert back to just a maintenance fee on a sales tax. I know it's crazy, but you know, the valley swells to a huge amount of people in the daytime. We got a lot of folks coming and going through the area, so why not let them help pay for some of our problems.
So you're talking about a local sales tax, right? Local sales tax?
Yeah, a county-wide sales tax, right, for a county jail.
Boy, you know, as great as that may sound to some, and boy, they voted down sales taxes statewide for, I think it's 9 times. I think there's
I get it.
You know, there's something. I think if you're an Oregonian, there's just an automatic revulsion for that. That would be a high bar.
It's taken me a long time to get to that, but the only thing I was looking at is that we could spread it out over a lot of people. That way, the folks, the guys that own property aren't the ones that saddled with that huge expense.
Yeah, because that's the way it's always done right now, traditionally. You screw a property owner, and then nobody else is paying, I guess. At least not required directly to it. By the way, do you follow my Facebook page? What was your name again?
Mike Dan. No, I do not.
Okay, Mike. I put up... It's so funny that you brought this topic up, though, because yesterday I shared a survey on my Facebook page, the Bill Myers Show Facebook page, and Sheriff Nate Sickler is surveying the community right now. There's a survey out in which they're trying to figure out what's the best way, what would people be most in support of. And I don't know if you get on Facebook or if you send me an email, I'll send you a link to that, and maybe you can let the Sheriff's Department know. Okay?
That's what kind of got my wheels spinning, was I did receive one of those surveys, and I filled it out and sent that information. So,
All right. Well, very good. Well, thanks for calling. And,
okay. All right.
You take care, and we'll toss it out there. Yeah, that was something that the Sheriff's Department is doing right now. I know that there was talk in Josephine County when they were talking about how to pay for law enforcement there of a sales tax. And, you know, the interesting part about this is that one of the big concerns, and it was a valid concern, is that you had Josephine County businesses that were saying, hey, listen, gosh, you know, we do a sales tax, and all we're going to do is shove people to buy everything from Jackson County where it wouldn't be taxed. And then you would have the same situation in reverse. I would imagine you'd have Medford businesses. Of course, Medford business is probably a larger retail hub than Josephine County's Grants Pass. But I don't know. Sales taxes are high bars, aren't they? They're pretty high bars. I don't know if you have an opinion on what Mike was thinking. I think that would almost be a non-starter for most of the voters. I could be wrong. Maybe they're upset enough about, or people are, maybe you're getting enough tired of the dirt bagginess, the rising dirt bagginess, which has arguably been affecting Southern Oregon for quite some time, not just Jackson County. But you got to have a place to shove them. and a place to maybe shove them into getting some drug treatment, too, in many cases. 21 minutes after 6. What do you think about it? We can talk about that and more. 770-5633, Friday morning on the Bill Myers Show, KMED and 99.3 KBXG. With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know.
I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
23 after 6. When I dropped off the water sample to the Grants Pass Water Lab, that big jar of Klamath River, scary air quotes, water that was collected over at Happy Camp the other day by Mark, ended up having the pleasure of driving through downtown Grants Pass, on the way out back to Interstate 5, ended up stopping by, doing some maintenance on various radio sites, things like that. And, gosh, I'm driving through downtown Grants Pass and, on 7th Street, and it wasn't at 20 miles per hour. And I was trying to figure out, why wasn't it at 20 miles per hour? Because everybody knows that the only way that a downtown area could be safe is if it is at 20 miles per hour, because the city of Medford ended up putting that in place yesterday. I don't know. Maybe there's a section of 6th or 7th that is 20 miles per hour. Maybe I just didn't notice it, or maybe I just always sped through it. I don't know. Now, Grants Pass does have some of those sections of connectors that are at 20 miles per hour, but on Highway 199, I don't think they, or on 99 or rather, then going through downtown, there is none of that going on. And I guess that the city of Grants Pass must be just not following the law, because we're told that their state statute says when you have business districts that they have to be 20 miles per hour. And, of course, the city of Medford will tell you that, of course, we've made it 20 miles per hour in order to be safe, to increase safe. I'm sure if we made it 5 miles per hour, it would be even safer than it is right now. Why not just have the traffic through downtown Medford at the speed of a walk or of a shuffling bum? Yeah, that's it. That would make traffic really safe. If the traffic can't move any more quickly than the typical fentanyl-induced bum is able to walk, or maybe bicycle. And then the fastest vehicles going through downtown Medford would then be Bird scooters. Bird scooters and or electric bikes doing 40 miles per hour on the sidewalks. Yeah, that's how you get through it. Yeah, I'm a little irritated by this whole thing. But yeah, City of Grants Pass seems to be managing somehow without a 20-mile-per-hour zone, at least on a lot of downtown. I wonder how they can manage to get away with that. Why? Grants Pass, why haven't you gotten progressive? Why aren't you at 20 miles per hour unless I miss the 20-mile-per-hour zone? It's like 25 or 30. How can we do that? Because there must be people getting mowed over and killed routinely on 6th and 7th Street in Grants Pass because Medford had to change it down to 20 miles per hour because apparently, this is safety and the safety of the business district. Well, of course, what will be left unsaid is at least by most of the city council there. And yeah, they're dealing with some stuff that was signed on to a number of years ago. But remember that climate friendly, equitable community thing that Brad Bennington and I have been talking about, the executive order from Commie Governor Brown. I have no doubt that under the guise of safetyism, that this is no doubt part of we have to follow the statutes and we have to follow the safety protocols here to keep things safe. But undoubtedly, what I think some of the planners, the world improvers working for the city of Medford, are all about is that we must reduce vehicle miles traveled, because remember, this was all part of the climate friendly, equitable community. We agree, we have to save the planet in order to do this. And no doubt, I have no doubt that that has some influence in this decision to go with the cult of safetyism in downtown Medford. And, we have to do this. We have to, normalize it. And when we write the city council, like I did last week, and said, listen, one of the most common complaints I have is that people don't want to go downtown. People don't want to go downtown because you make it uncomfortable and or extremely expensive. You know, hey, a few miles over that speed limit, there's that red light camera or the speed camera. Boom, $165 ticket. And, you know, you start losing the desire to go to your latest multicultural left-wing fair or whatever it is you have downtown if you step outside of the speed limit zone by a few miles an hour, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're popped with a ticket from the city of Medford. All of a sudden, you know, you don't feel like coming to visit that climate-friendly, equitable community. And I don't know. Maybe that is the goal. Maybe that's the goal of the city of Medford right now, is to not have you visiting downtown so that way they can report back and be good little communists for the state of Oregon, saying, yes, we have reduced vehicle miles in downtown Medford. I don't know if that's the case, but it would be a reasonable theory. They can't help but think that within the fevered minds of the communist planners that tend to get jobs within cities and states here in the state of Oregon, they all went to plan the same planning schools. They're sitting in there logging into websites such as planning.org, in which you can see all their woke DEI stuff and going right into the whole sustainable development of Vision 2030, Project 2040, and, get rid of the cars and the people by 2050. Have you living in our downtown utopian stack and packs. And by the way, get people off of the rural lands because they're killing Mother Nature. You know, that's the whole kind of stuff that you'll read over at planning.org. It's kind of like the teachers' unions, too. You know, they're all coming out of the same, they're all just drinking from the same Kool-Aid. You know, they really are. I couldn't help but think that the attack on driving into downtown Medford is connected. I can't help but think that there is some of that going on. And I am willing to be proven absolutely wrong, but I suspect the climate-friendly, equitable communities and reducing vehicle miles is part of this. And so if that means that downtown Medford is hurt more and that all we have are electric bikes zipping up and down the sidewalks, and everybody else who actually might spend money downtown avoids it, maybe that's part of the plan. Maybe there's like the climate-friendly vehicle miles travel. There's like a report card, and there may be some grant stream funding tied to it. I don't know. Just posing the question. But it does appear to be a suicide pact that the city of Medford is having with its downtown planners. 770-5633. We could talk about that maybe if you want. Let me grab another phone call before news and Rick Manning joins me. But hi, who's this? Good morning.
You're talking to John, Bill.
John, how are you? What's up?
Well, I was going to say I completely agree with what you just said, your comments about the speed limits in downtown Medford. But what I really called about is I was wondering what really happened to the two Mexican drug dealers that got turned loose a while back. I thought they were supposed to be in court a few days ago.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I would be willing to bet a week's pay that they didn't show up.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, to be fair about this, and, you know, we were yelling about that at that time. It's like, how do you cut these people loose? And then you find out that laws that were passed by the state legislature, by the woke legislature, more or less made it next to impossible to hang on to them. And that's the rule. And so the DA, and in fact, the DA, I don't even think the DA's office had any chance to say yay or nay on it, but they were just cut loose because of the laws that were out there. The one thing that you can figure, though, is that if they were cut loose, those two people cut loose to go back down to Mexico, you got to figure they'd be in trouble down there, wouldn't they?
Well, you would think so. You'd think so. I'm not exactly sure how that all operates, but you'd think they lost the 250,000 pills I'm assuming they didn't give the pills back to them too.
No, they did not give them. They did not give them the fentanyl pills back to them. For what I do understand, that is the one thing they did do. But I can imagine it wouldn't be a real comfortable trip back there to try to explain why you were stupid enough to get popped by the cops, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how they were going to get back either. I'm sure they weren't traveling legally across the border. So it's anyway, it's not connected directly at all. But hearing stories like that makes me really wonder if I really want to support building a bigger jail when the justice is so selectively enforced. I don't know how that law passed that let how they passed that law to allow these guys to turn them loose like they did. But I would bet every dime that I have that if I got caught doing that, what they did, or you, we would be sitting in jail right now.
And there's a possibility you could be right about that because, you know, the people who have assets, who have skin in the game, in other words, legal, regular people around here, property and jobs and everything else, we have something to lose. The dirtbag class does not. And so there's nothing to be gained by them keeping him in jail, I guess. It's just an expense on the system.
You're right on the money about that, Bill. I know you're about ready to take a interview, so I'll tell you to have a good day. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, John. Good hearing from you. 770-5633. I'll grab a quick call here. Like I said, we will get Rick on just a moment. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello?
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning.
Cheers.
What's up?
Hey, last night, very interesting on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
It's always an interesting always an interesting show with Clyde. Does good stuff there.
Yeah, well, they talked about an incident that happened down in Arizona where people behind Trump, you know, he's behind a glass, and they had a few dozen people behind him. And all of a sudden, when people left, their eyes were so bad, they ended up in the ER.
Yeah, they had eye burns or something like that. It's a very odd story, wasn't it?
Well, but, you know, when I watched the debate, and I saw how bad Trump was functioning, and there were so many places where he could have really countered her so, you know, definitely. And he wasn't doing it. He was off his game. And I told, you know, the person next to me, I said, you know, I think he's being microwaved. I think they're aiming microwave radiation at him. And the thing that happened in Arizona is, to my mind, rises a very high suspicion of microwave technology being used against Trump.
That is a really interesting theory, and I think that what you've talked about there, I think there's some legs to that. I really do. It's like, what better way? Get it from a distance, because, you know, you can have targeted energy weapons. They already have stuff like that. We know that. Who's not to say that there's somebody up in the rafters someplace or somewhere that is aiming some energy beams. I know it sounds a little crazy, but in a crazy year, you can't discount it, Tom.
Yeah, and, you know, when he was at the debate, he was in one position, and it would be so easy to have something on the back wall just aiming right at him.
Yeah, just make sure, if you can get through to the Trump campaign, don't have him pick up any strange walkie-talkies or pagers, okay?
That's all part of it.
Bro. I know. Hey, maybe we talk about that a little bit later here. I got some open phone time, 7:30 and 8:30, okay? I'd love to hear from you again on that, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Good.
All right. It's a 6:36 D.C. Swamp Update, hopefully with no beaming energy waves at you. This is the Bill Meyer Show. It's all coming up.
Artisan Bakery Cafe invites you to swing by for the...
...about their services on clouserdrilling.com.
It's the Bill Meyer Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. Mama told me.
The D.C. Swamp Update, Rick Manning from the fetid swamps of Washington, D.C., president of Americans for Limited Government. And by the way, the D.C. Swamp has extra stank on it this morning at no extra charge, from what I understand. Rick, welcome back. Good to have you on. Morning, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Great intro. Wow.
Yeah. Put some stank on it, right? You know, that's all you got to do.
Wow.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, what a week. What a week here. Rick, and but it's okay. And I don't know if you heard that Oprah ended up having a live stream yesterday with Kamala. Did you hear about that?
Did she give cars for everybody?
No cars. There may have been an extra ballot or so underneath every seat. I don't know.
Under seat, yeah.
But I just want to let you know that her performance at the debate, I'm speaking of Kamala, of course, is perfectly normal, especially when you hear what a moving closing statement she ended up giving. And I'll try not to torture you too much, but I think you'll enjoy this, okay?
We love our country. I love our country. I know we all do. That's why everybody's here right now. We love our country. We take pride in the privilege of being American. And this is a moment where we can and must come together as Americans, understanding we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let's come together with the character that we are so proud of about who we are, which is we are an optimistic people. We are an optimistic people. Americans, by character, are people who have dreams and ambitions and aspirations. We believe in what is possible. We believe in what can be. And we believe in fighting for that. That's how we came into being. Because the people before us understood that one of the greatest expressions for the love of our country, one of the greatest expressions of patriotism, is to fight for the ideals of who we are, which includes freedom to make decisions about your own body, freedom to be safe from gun violence, freedom to have access to the ballot box, freedom to be who you are and just be, to love who you love openly and with pride, freedom to just be. And that's who we are. We believe in all that. And so this is a moment where we stand knowing what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against. It's what we're fighting for.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So that was the big closing, you know, the big close on that. And we just want to be who we are. And I'm thinking about 30% of the people watching that wanted Donald Trump to actually be dead. You see those latest surveys that came out?
Yeah, I did. That's, you know, I think everybody should listen to that again. And I don't want you to play it now. But because she really actually, I've been thinking a lot about this. It's inconceivable to me from my worldview that the people who oppose us and want to jail us have a belief that they are fighting for freedom and American values. But yet, that's what they believe. And when you listen to what Kamala Harris said, that is she defined what she views as American values. Freedom from gun violence. Okay? Not freedom to. Freedom from. Very, very important difference. It's a freedom that is government mandated that says, we're going to protect you. We're the big protector, and we're going to protect you from yourself. Freedom to choose to love who you choose, unless you want to be a mother and you want to go out.
Because being a mother is so, being a mother is so 1990. You know, so 1995.
So,
right?
You know, so if you want to be a mother, you know, that's not the choice you're supposed to make.
Yeah, well, the freedom to terminate the pregnancy, you know, freedom from motherhood is what she really should have said. I think that was really what she's
motherhood.
Talking about.
That is it. Every single one of the, I've been dealing with this, I mean, truly, I started trying to figure this out in the 1980s, 40 years ago. As I was dealing with people, maybe it was early 1990s, but as I was dealing with people in New Jersey who kept on defining firearms as a freedom from issue, right? And as far as the freedom to issue. And that is the fundamental difference between the left and the right.
Yeah, the right is a freedom to, the left is a freedom from, right?
And America has traditionally been a freedom to try, a freedom to fail, a freedom to succeed. To a freedom to invest how you want, a freedom to spend your time as you want, a freedom to have, to explore everything you want to, in terms of a goal of, as long as you're not hurting other people, okay? That is the freedom to. And the freedom from is the implicit statement there is, we're going to protect you from this is a protectorate, but... Remember, the thing she doesn't say in there is you don't have a freedom from owning a grocery store and having somebody come in and steal all your stuff. You don't have a freedom from any of those things what government's supposed to protect you from, like protect your property and the like. That's the actual purpose of government. A freedom from an invasion and having your job taken by somebody who came across the border and has no skills. But it's going to work for $9 an hour in Springfield, Ohio. That is what they are effectively doing. It is a direct contradiction. When she says about the people before, we hear founding fathers. That's not what she's saying. Okay. So it's very, very interesting to listen to, because the fact of the matter is, it sounds very benign, and it is absolutely 100% counter to everything people who used to believe in America believed. And that is, she's defined the battle for the soul of America with that statement. It sounded like she was on Xanax, but besides that, that was important to listen to. I found that when she does her word salads, it's very important to listen to what she's actually saying, because they kind of get mixed up in how she kind of stupidly says it.
Yeah, but there is truthfulness of where she actually stands within that word salad.
She's telling us what she thinks.
Yeah.
She's telling us what she thinks, that she is a through and through Marxist. She has no, when she says unburdened from the past, she means unburdened from our Constitution, unburdened from the Declaration of Independence, unburdened from the norms of what we've considered America to be, because unburdened from the past means you're without an anchor and you can float anywhere you want. And a country without an anchor is not a country at all.
Yeah. Well, under the Harris administration, I've jokingly said that the Constitution has almost been turned into an Etch-a-Sketch. Even at this point, you just sort of turn it upside down and shake it. That would be the completion of that joke, wouldn't it?
Well, because it would. And here's the thing to just know. I mean, this is not really hard to figure out. Typically, if somebody wins the top of the ticket, they pick up seats in the Congress. Mm-hmm. So, and given the fact we've got some people who are more worried about exacting revenge because Kevin McCarthy isn't still Speaker, in the House Republican side, making it difficult to get anything done, it is a you look at it There's a 50. There's a better than 50-50 chance. People here in D.C. are betting the Democrats are taking the House. Okay, that's the betting in D.C. The only thing that makes it so people aren't betting they take the Senate is because the map, the Senate seats are up, or so overwhelmingly red states with Democrat senators that it's really hard for the Democrats to get pickups. But Texas is. I think Texas is in play with Cruz. And people I've talked to are more concerned about Florida and Rick Scott than Texas. If we lose a single one of those seats, let alone two, if they have 50-50 with Tim Walz as the vice president, they will pack the courts and they will eliminate every single one of the freedoms and restoration of freedom that the current Supreme Court had put into effect. They will eliminate them all in one fell swoop. So, second thing they'll do is they'll make D.C. a state and make it so they get two more senators. But it is that's a guarantee. So you get right down to it. Don't expect there to be a filibuster to save you in the Senate, because they'll eliminate it. They tried last time. Only two senators stood in their way. Both those senators
are gone.
Senators are not going to be in the Senate.
Yeah, not going to be there. Yeah.
So just understand. When she says this crazy stuff, and people say, people say crazy stuff all the time, but they don't, but they can't really do it because the system's set up to make it hard to do stuff.
Well, no, you can't take the crazy stuff that Kamala says and not take it seriously, though. That's really what you're saying.
No, and that's my point. When you look at the closeness of the House and Senate races, they managed in 2021. They had, the Democrats had a six vote majority. They also had a six vote majority. They had a very, very, very narrow majority. The difference is their majority said achieving power is more important than doing the things that are philosophically, since they're all in alignment, no matter how they run, achieving, you know, our goals is more important than getting reelected. And achieving our goals in mass is more important than having our own individual say and sending out our own little emails to raise money from people who don't know what's going on. And so they come together. They walk in lockstep. We couldn't break off so-called conservative members, more moderate members, on even the most crazy issues. And the only one we won on was, well, Manchin voted for the Inflation Reduction Act, which enacted the Green New Deal, which kills West Virginia.
Right.
Okay. I mean, just to be clear, even Joe Manchin, everybody thinks, he's this great old-time, you know, Democrat.
He voted against the interest of his own people that elected him.
Of his own people, exactly.
But you know that I have to tell you though, there have been times in the state of Oregon that we've had Republicans voting against the interest of their own people, helping Democrats get stuff passed too.
What is this going on to?
I mean, are Republicans just ideologically in collapse at this point in time, Rick? I mean, what do you think about that overall? Because we're looking at. Go ahead, please.
I think there's three. There's three types of Republicans, and this is a generalization, okay? There's three types of Republicans. There are Republicans who think that it's business as usual and that there's really no, you know, that Donald Trump is more of a threat than Kamala Harris.
Is that a Mike DeWine kind of Republican, like the governor of Ohio, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
Because he invited 20,000 Haitian migrants in to destroy Springfield, essentially, okay? Yeah.
Correct, and they worked in, and they all got jobs, and paying $9 an hour. So somebody who was in charge of the factory got $9 an hour employees, who got supplemented with rental cars. They all got rental cars, to care of the state, and they got $1,000 or $1,500, I can't remember which, guaranteed vouchers to make up for the nine, so they could afford to live on the $9 an hour. And none of them were required to get driver's licenses or insurance or anything like that. So the insurance rates, car insurance rates for everybody else in Springfield went up by 300% because they just rammed their rental cars into people, get out, abandon their car, and walk. So, yeah, they've turned a town of 50,000 by increasing the population, by putting 40% insertion of people who have none of the
No American values. No American. Well, you here. Honestly, you know, when will they figure out though that if you import the Rick? When will they figure out that when you import the third world, you get the third world in America? Okay.
When will they figure that? That's what they want. I mean, just the people are trying to break America. If you're trying to break society, it's what you want. It's not a, you know, it's you. I do not give them any kind of benefit of. In terms of people, actually, the Biden administration, the Harris administration, they're doing the importation. I give them no benefit of not knowing. They know what they're doing. This is deliberate.
And they don't do it to they're not doing it to blue states, right? They're doing it to red states, specifically.
Well, LA,
right?
Truthfully, LA County has fallen in, is a complete war zone now because of what they've done.
Okay. All right, I'll be correct.
So there's but the fact of the matter is, No person in their right mind would say, we've got a small little town in southern Ohio that we're going to, that's got 50,000 people in it, that we're going to inject 20,000 people from a country that has had complete governmental collapse and hasn't had a government entity really for 10 years. Okay? In spite of all the money Bill Clinton spent there supposedly to rebuild it after various earthquakes. And so you bring people who have, it's through no fault of their own, okay, let's just be clear, through no fault of their own, don't understand how to live in a civil society in any way, shape, or form. And as a result, you bring those people in, they bring their culture with them, they bring their religion with them, they bring everything with them, and they have no capacity or even desire, and certainly no economic push to become part of the society and to blend into the society. Their push is just, they benefit by staying together and being being that kind, being Haitians who are now doing better than they ever could have believed they could do in their entire lives monetarily and financially. But they have absolutely no idea where the wealth comes from, and they don't care.
They even call it magic money. Did you know that? They call it magic money on the cards, the debit cards that the government gave them.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. It's magic.
So, uh-huh. And that's why the mayor of Springfield doesn't want Donald Trump to come to Springfield. That's the reason. You know?
How do you think
Anyway,
do you think that's a good campaign thing for Donald Trump to do, go to Springfield?
I think he's not talking about cats. It's better. But, you know, the fact is that that whole thing about the cats is true. Okay, let's just first be clear.
Yeah, it is.
It's part of voodoo practice. It's what's been happening. There's been reports of it for over, you know, 9 months.
And as soon as ABC News denies it and everybody else denies it, then they say, you know, it's true. Okay. Oh, it's unfounded. Right. Yeah, it's true. Okay.
We called the city manager. He says that's not happening. Well, yeah, right. So anyway, that's all that aside. That happens to be true. But in a world where, you know, we're a postmodern world, post-truth world, that doesn't matter. What matters is what the meme shows and what, and people, you know, as a point of mocking rather than a point of actually concern. And it drew attention away from the real problem, is that they've got complete societal collapse in Middletown because of this, Springfield, because of this insertion of, you know, 20,000 people in a 50,000-people city and the destruction that's doing to that small town. That's the story that got lost. And so if he goes and he's able to tell that story, then that's a good thing. The problem is the mayor has absolutely no interest in telling that story because he's overseeing that story and he'll have that story to unfold. So it's hard to tell the story under those circumstances.
Essentially, Springfield is hillbilly elegy, right?
Right.
Yeah, the hollowing out of the post-industrial United States. There we go.
Well, it's actually worse than that because they took jobs that should have gone to people in Springfield, and they gave them to 20,000 Haitians. Okay? I mean, this is just, you know, that's the reality, and they did it because they wanted to pay them $9 an hour.
So that's the one type of Republican that we haven't even gotten to the other two types of Republicans.
Right.
So that's the one
correct
type of Republican, the DeWine Republican. I want to make sure that we have a bunch of $9 an hour people that are pliable and willing to to come there. You know, even if they are practicing voodoo in the street. Okay, all right.
And that Republican is not, you know, is a essentially if you know is a 1950s. What's good for GM is good for America, Republican. And in 1950s, that was probably true. Mm-hmm. In 2024, that is not true.
Right. So that's one type of Republican. What are the other two here that we're dealing with?
There's the Republican. I'll go to the other side of it. There's the Republican who says, everything's on fire. If we don't take drastic measures right now, we're going to all die. Okay. I happen to be more inclined to that Republican than any other.
Mm-hmm.
But if by saying I'm going to take drastic measures, I make it so we take no measures because I only accept drastic measures. So we take no measures. In fact, we pour gasoline on the fire because we don't take the little bit of water we could have put on it. And we don't accept that as enough. So instead, we get no water.
So that's a freedom caucus. That's a freedom caucus Republican, right? Okay.
In some respects. And truthfully, only in the initial vote count, and it turned out about 5 freedom caucus members voted against the last CR. But it was there were only 2 who were planning on voting against it until it was clear it wasn't going to pass. And so who are hardcore against it, and, you know, they say, we'll never vote for a CR. Well, then, you know, you're part of the problem. Because ultimately we have to get something done. And if we don't do it, the Democrats will. And when they do it, it's worse.
Okay. So then there's the third type of Republican.
The third Republican.
Is the third Republican Cliff Benz?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Third Republican is sitting there and saying, you know, I know things are bad, but, you know, we're a great country, and there's really not that much. There's not really an emergency that much. You know, if we don't really have to, you know, we can just go along, get along, and things will all work out because they always do. Okay?
So, in other words, the Republicans are thinking, we're just going to always muddle through because this is human nature. Okay.
And oh, by the way, if it's something that they're the Republicans who make it so, when Republicans get unified control of government, which doesn't happen very often, we've never had Republicans since the filibuster, since the direct election of senators, the Republican Party has never had a filibuster-proof Senate, okay, ever. The Democrats have had it 4 times. So that's and each time they do Obamacare, or they do they did Medicaid, they did this whole war on poverty. FDR did the entire destruction of the creation of the administrative state because they had filibuster control, roof control. So the Democrats, when they do it, they do big things. When the Republicans get it, they do tax reform that primarily benefits multinationals. So that's because the truth is, the guys who are kind of just it's okay, they don't have a big vision of what needs to be done, because they are true conservatives, and a true conservative by definition says
he's not wanting to do big things really normally, right?
Right, exactly right. So if you're trying to go and you're in a position where you're trying to do a total revamp of the way the administrative state runs, that's a big thing. You would think Republicans who run on less regulation and cutting the size of government, which they all do, would embrace that because it's part of the campaign brochure, every single one of their campaign brochures. And yet, when it comes to how to do it, no, that's too hard. That breaks eggs. We don't want to do that. That might upset people.
Let me ask you here, then, as the final question.
They gauge themselves by the editorial board of the Washington Post.
Okay, so let me ask you then.
No good at all.
As of those three types of Republicans, is Donald Trump the fourth one, or not?
Donald Trump's a biblical Cyrus. You can't call him. The Republicans are the Jewish exiles. Okay.
Uh huh.
And Donald Trump's a Cyrus. He's not one of them. Okay. He is a guy who says everything's screwed up. We got to fix it. And this is the group that almost aligns with the idea of fixing it. You know, Elon Musk, same way. It's all messed up. We got to fix it. But the people who are the every day we got elected because the Chamber of Commerce endorsed us, and we ran a business for a while, and our dad was important in town. So we got elected to Congress because we were the right people and we had all the right contacts. Those guys don't have a philosophy. Mm-hmm. They tell you, and I dealt with them all the time when I was in NRA lobbyist. I knew that only if 10% of the people who I endorsed actually in their heart, to the kind of had a hardcore conviction that they agreed with me, that was a win. Most of them were there because that was what they had to do to win. And you saw this. I had the opportunity to.
Okay. Well, see, this goes a long way though, to explain why there's so much hostility, even from the Republican Party to Donald Trump, because he really isn't 100%. One of them. Right. That explains a lot.
Not.
It really does.
He's not one of them. He is somebody who comes in, and I'm making this.
It's almost like he used the Republican Party as the empty vessel to try, to gain office.
The Republican Party, the people who populate the Republican Party on the grassroots level, were sick to death of the people who they were electing, but they didn't know what to do about it. He gave them something they could do about it. So he's a threat to the entire establishment of the Republican Party, moneyed and otherwise. And as a result, they would rather have Kamala Harris than Donald Trump. And truthfully, behind closed doors, I think if you actually put somebody on some of the senators and lie detector test, they would say they prefer for Kamala Harris because they act that way. Because they like being in a boat that's adrift floating. Even if it's floating towards the waterfall, as long as it doesn't hit the waterfall while they're there, they're fine with it. Uh-huh. Everything's just fine. And the rest of us who see the waterfall say, wait a second, we're in the wrong boat here. And we're trying to divert the whole river. And meanwhile, our elected officials are saying they're paddling faster towards the waterfall. So it's it's a challenge. It's a frustrating challenge. It's what exists. And the only way we can deal with this challenge effectively is to elect Donald Trump president. And frankly, let him break things. That is exactly 100% right. And I will tell you right now, that is not what America wants to hear right now. They want to be told everything's going to be all right, baby. It's okay. Don't worry about the fact that we're losing our place around the world, and the world and America is much less safe. They want to be patted on the head and said, and given word salads, at least 50% of them. And we damn well better figure out how to talk to those people in between the next 6 weeks, or else, quite honestly,
it will be Kamala. Yeah.
Donald Trump doesn't come along again. We get Mitt Romney or some fiction like Mitt Romney running because he's the safe establishment guy. At which point, you're just accepting whatever they did to us and saying we're going to try to move on from here.
All right.
So that's the reality.
That's the D.C. swamp update for this week. And it was a great conversation about the three types of Republicans and why we find ourselves in this situation. It also explains a lot about the situation in Oregon. You know, you have a handful of principled and a lot of other people say, well, you know, yeah, it's okay, but you know, we really can't be obstructionists, etc. And then you have other people that say, hey, you got to break it. And Trump is one of the few saying you just got to break it. All right, Rick, we'll talk again next week. DailyTorch.com, always great stuff there. And by the way, isn't it, final thing I just happened to note, isn't it amazing? Fed cuts interest rates and yields go up. Mortgage rates go up. Isn't that interesting? Huh?
Yeah, it doesn't jive. But just wait until Kamala gets her $25,000 giveaway. How much prices will go up to accommodate that?
Yeah, I think that's why gold reacted to that and just said, "Hey, they don't have control over it. Neither side has control over the spending." All right, hey Rick, we'll see you next week. Thanks again for the call. Bye-bye. All right. KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. Mr. Outdoors is going to join me. He's the palate cleanser. We'll be kicking around some things on the outdoors and the outdoor news and so much more. We'll have a lot of fun with that too.